Christie would not be here.
Right. Everybody else is here. Okay.
Six o'clock, we'll go ahead and get started.
All right.
Well, good evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome everyone to our workshop meeting. Today is Monday, June the 20th, 2016. And Ms. Evans, will you go ahead and call the roll, please?
Dr. Matthews?
Here.
Ms. Ray?
Here.
Ms. Matlock?
Here.
Ms. Bilbouch?
Here.
Ms. Paddock? Mr. Davis?
Here.
All right. Councilmember Paddock, I believe, is out of town, so we have the other five council members here. So we'd like to welcome those of you joining us in the audience this evening, as far as city staff and those representing our local agencies in the community. Thank you for taking your time this evening to be here. And at this time, we're going to, or our mission this evening is to review our hotel occupancy tax fund, preparing for the upcoming fiscal year. And so we have representatives who'll be here this evening from different agencies making presentations and also getting information from the staff this evening. So I want to appreciate all the work that's been put forth in reference to getting this underway, preparing for the next fiscal year. And we'll move along at this point in time with our open forum comments from the public. If there's anyone who would like to specifically address the council at this time, you're welcome to do so. I know that several of you will have presentations this evening, but I do want to open the floor up for comments from the public if there are any. Okay. Hearing none, we'll go ahead and move forward to item four, items for discussion, hotel occupancy tax fund. Update on the hotel occupancy tax fund by finance director, Kristen Peoples. So Kristen, I'll turn it over to you to get us started.
Okay. All right. Good evening. I'm going to start out by discussing the status of the fund and kind of where it stands, and then give the organizations an opportunity after that to present to you what they've done with their funding over the past year. Starting out, we did meet with the recipients last week to discuss the fund, and so they've heard some of this. Starting out, at the end of fiscal year 15, we had a ending fund balance of $154,000. The fund looks good this year. Our projection for revised 15-16 ending fund balance is $311,000, and that is up quite a bit from what we predicted it to be. Revenue's just been really good this year in this fund. Over the last few years, it's kind of been up and down, but so far it's trending to be pretty good. We base the estimates for revised 15-16 on actuals through May, and then estimates June through September. So we're predicting the ending fund balance at the end of 15-16 to come out to be around $300,000. And then for FY17, we budgeted revenue based on a 2% increase, and that's just based on the trend over the last 4 years. Expenditures. At this time, we are proposing to meet 100% of the request from all the recipients, except Running WJ Ranch. Staff met last week, actually 2 weeks ago, to discuss the request from Running WJ, and we just all came to a general agreement that his application did not meet some of the requirements of the Texas two-step law that's required in order to receive the funding, specifically the heads and beds, showing proof of the heads and beds. So you'll see in the packet that I gave you, behind the first two pages are the requests from each of the organizations, their specific request and what they've outlined that they're going to do with their money. And then you'll also see the letter that was sent to Running WJ Ranch denying their request. Also included in the budget is money for the convention center. We've got approximately $900,000 budgeted for the convention center, and that includes the debt service payment of $562,000, convention center management fee of $230,000, and a reserve that we're setting up for the building, for building maintenance. We basically just took the original expenditures at the convention center and tried to pick out items that will likely break down over time and need repair, and we're trying to start building a reserve for that. We've estimated about $60,000 a year to go towards that, so we're starting the reserve with 2 years at $130,000. I believe the convention center's been open 3 years, is that right? Also included in the budget is the Pro Theater building, $40,000 for building maintenance, $272,000 for the contract. And $12,000 is set aside in special services. That's for the hotel tax audits that we have done each year. I believe at this time they do 3 audits a year. And so that just keeps our hotels compliant with tax reporting. The fund balance, ending fund balance for FY17 is projected at $53,000. And we discussed as a staff going forward that it's going to be our goal to bring to you a fund balance policy for this fund, similar to what we've done for the general fund. The hope with that is that we can build the fund balance up over time. Obviously, it won't happen overnight. But the hope is that if revenue jumps around like it can do and has been in the past, that we will still be able to be consistent with our funding to the organizations. So if we are consistent with what we've done with the general fund and look to do 25% to 35%, that would be anywhere from $400,000 to $550,000 fund balance that we'll be working to build each year. And that's really all I have to discuss about the fund, but I'll be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Kristen, I don't see on here, and maybe I'm missing it, information on previous contributions for the last 2 or 3 years. Can you give that to us by organization?
Sure. I think okay. I have a worksheet.
And then my next question is, are we required to meet every request in full, as you had mentioned, or do we have the opportunity to hold over any monies on our end to save for next year under the assumption that, you know, you already said that this was a pretty good year this year, let's say it reverses, so that we have money maybe for next year to help offset any losses that we might get within 12 months prior?
We're definitely not required to meet them at 100%. Obviously, we have our debt service for the convention center that, mm-hmm. you know, we would need to do at 100%. We have our management fee for the convention center that operates it that we would need to fund. The request from the arts, that's strictly be a council decision if you wanted to fund them at 100% or at a lesser amount. The Pro is a contract, mm-hmm. and that would be one that we would have to maintain as well.
Okay.
And the management of the convention center is a contract as well.
Right.
The in addition to this, and what I told the recipients that we're working on as well, in the budget, when we roll out the budget to you in the general fund, under the community relations account, I am budgeting for full funding of an event for Live United Bowl in our convention center. We're going to feed all the teams, the pep clubs. This event took place on the Arkansas side last year. It's going to come to the Texas side and be in our convention center. And so we would fund that 100%. That would allow Live United Bowl to make more money for United Way, who in turn also funds these same agencies we're talking about tonight and more. And so that'd be the city's indirect support of nonprofit organizations through that event.
How much is that gonna be?
Well, we're still working the number, but I have set aside a number until we come up with the final number. We're working with the committee and convention center to come up with a number. It's gonna be $15,000 to $20,000, probably, from the general fund. Don't know that yet for sure. We're still working that out, because we don't know exactly the menu yet. But it'll be a big event, and a lot of people will be there. And they're filling up our hotels, just like the Arkansas hotels, for that event for 2 or 3 days.
Does it not set a precedence for other events from larger organizations that do things here that bring in large groups?
Well, the approach that I'm taking on it is that the United Way touches so many of the groups that this is probably one that we could support in this way because of the event, and not because of the organization. It's because of the Live United Bowl is a community event, and both cities need to be participating in that. And so this would be our effort to do that.
Let me play devil's advocate. Breast cancer touches pretty much everyone's lives at some point, some way, somehow. And there's tons of people that come into Texarkana for the Coleman Texarkana Race for the Cure. What's different? Because again, if we go with the logic that we're going on an event that affects or touches the whole, what's different from that event to Live United Bowl?
Well, I don't know. I don't know all the ins and outs of that particular activity. I know the United Way does contribute money to a lot of organizations that also ask us for money from time to time, which I usually turn them down. And when the mayor and I had met with the Live United Bowl representatives, basically told them, I said, I can't support your request for money. Can't offer you money. I mean, that's what they wanted. They wanted money. And I said, I think it's a better sell if we can sell an event on our side of the state line in our facility, and we pay for that event where we're not handing you any money.
I think you're going to have some backlash over that if you go based upon the event, because I think there's a lot of organizations out here that also want sponsorship monies somehow, some way for their events. And, you know, would easily say, I'm going to go to the city, but the city doesn't give monies. But now if we give monies from an in-kind standpoint, well, then what would stop them from saying, well, you know,
well, this is the first year I'm putting in a budget line that says community relations. It's going to be in your department. And right now I've got $50,000 plugged there. I haven't identified what all that's for. That's where this would come from. So I'm trying to set it up so that you, the council, can actually deal with community relations type stuff like this. And so trying to put some money there. So if that's somewhere you want to go with that to support other organizations, you know, maybe we need to develop a policy on it. What kinds of events, who it would be, what's for, what you got to demonstrate. So that, because we're always getting these requests. And I'm pretty much the bad guy saying, we can't just hand you money. And so I think there's a more solid ground of public purpose if we actually fund an activity that we can say it's putting people in our hotels, even though we're not using hotel money to pay for the event. We're using general fund money. But it does help shore up the hotel account. And so I think it's probably open to that. I know. I've also been playing with an idea, for example, is grants to organizations for sweat equity. So if groups want small amounts of money and they want to go through a grants program, then we say, well, if you do work for the city, let's just say roadside cleanup, and you do a small grant, you've got a Girl Scout troop wanting to make money for whatever, and they can come out and clean up a street for a day, do so many hours of public service, and we pay them X amount of money. So actually do work for the city in a semi-volunteer fashion. So I think there's more and more opportunities to get public funds available to these folks, but actually perform a service for the city in some way. And that's the approach I'm taking on this. Their Live United Bowl is actually performing a service for the city by filling up our hotels with their event.
if we did this, though, it wouldn't be a commitment for the following years with Live United either, correct?
Well, if it's successful, I would want to probably take us down that path. So it's just standard and routine. Because if this event, the Live United Bowl, is growing, and it's getting more popular among the collegiate world, and they're getting more requests from more colleges to come here to be participants in that game. And I think they're contractually committed to one conference, but then they can go pretty far and wide to get the opposing team. And so they've got a list of colleges that are now calling them because this one's getting favorable reviews across the country for this level of competition. So they're probably going to be around a long time, the way it looks.
And we're, you know, taking first year we've done something like this, take a look, evaluate it afterwards, see if it was successful. Kind of going back to Tina's first question, you know, this particular event with the United Bowl, you've got 2-3 nights in a row where you've got fans, bands, players, there's sports representatives who are here. Coleman Race for the Cure, outstanding event. Majority of those who attend that come to town that morning. They're here for 2 or 3, 4 hours, and then they're either going back to their communities or a lot of them are from our community. So this is something that you know, we were approached from representatives over there to say, you know, what can we do to as a unification of our two cities? We've got, it serves both cities. And so that's kind of where we are at this point. But we can certainly evaluate it. Hopefully it's successful. And we're just providing a location, which is the convention center, and providing a meal is what it basically involves our particular commitment.
The now, as far as hotel funds go, just remind you as well, the city itself has taken itself out of the hotel fund as a user. You know, we used to have some salaries paid out of it. We used to do sports promotion out of this fund. We no longer do that. That's all in general fund now. We've been moving that direction. That's all 100%. The only thing the city uses is the debt service and the management of the convention center and then maintenance of the parole. That's the only city use out of this money. So that's one of the reasons this fund is getting stronger, too, is that we have fewer claimants on the money. And I think the claimants will tell you tonight that this plan, as we're laying it out now, gives them some sustainability, some expectation that they can probably ride in this fund about these levels going forward and expect that money to be there. And we're trying to build in the assurances that we can deal with fluctuations in revenue from one year to another without affecting their allocation. So that's the hope, and that's the design of the plan at the moment.
I understand what you're saying. Obviously it'll be part of the vote of the general budget.
Sure.
Right. So I feel very strongly that in serving one nonprofit organization over any other nonprofit organization in our area that covers both cities, really, it just does not set a good example in the end, because I know there's many organizations that have conventions here, for example, whether they're fraternities or sororities, and people come in and they stay 2 nights. Those organizations also put heads in beds. You know, what happens when you have, like, for example, a United Way that receives, not United Way, but the Live United Bowl, who's currently trying to get television sponsorship from, I think, ESPN3 or something like that. You know, they're paying for that. I don't know. Something about this troubles me. It troubles me, but we'll just wait and see. You know, as we go forward. Yeah.
We can certainly get more input from that committee that runs Live United Bowl. Mm-hmm. Their board members would be happy to come and meet with you and share their thoughts on it as well. And, you know, at least United Way, in my view, their fundraising is not for themselves. Their fundraising is for others. They touch a lot of organizations. They give out what they raise to other groups. Mm-hmm. They meet their overhead costs, whatever that is. But
they basically fund other organizations of the community.
Yeah, they don't fund any of these. I'm pretty positive.
Oh, no, they, some of them said they are recipients.
Who gets United Way money from here? It'd be the Pro Theater, and that's through some type.
No, Pro, it's Art Smart.
It's the Art Smart Kids Program, yeah.
That's correct.
Yeah.
So they do get some, and at least that's what they said in our meeting, that they are recipients.
I felt sure that most of them that was on here did not get United Way funding. But that's something that's possible.
But at least in the room that day, they all supported the idea that was good to go that way. Because they're looking for sustainability in this fund.
Who is they all?
The recipients. These folks that are here tonight.
So all of them agreed that it was good for United Way to get this money?
Yes. The chamber wasn't there that day, but everybody else was here. They had representatives in the room.
I think, Mr. Whitson, it's involving a meal for...
Yeah, it's an anti-meal.
It's just a meal.
I know. I think it sets a precedence. And it's just one of those things that, you know, it's kind of gut instinct or whatever. The minute something's said, you can kind of feel it in your gut that you're like, something about that don't sound right, or does it sound good, or opens up a lot of different doors that we may not want to open up. But I'll let it simmer and...
No, I agree, and probably the first complaint may come from that Running J Ranch. How do you determine whether or not they do have evidence that the hotels were used?
I'll defer, Sabine, here, to you on that, what you request at the end of the year from the organizations. And
sure, so for the recipient organizations, we request a report that shows heads in beds, and they are required to work with hotels through a survey mechanism to report heads in beds. And so the Running WJ Ranch, not being a current recipient, just simply said that we are bringing in, I think it was 11,000 visitors. They could not prove that there was actually heads in beds. It was just visitors to the Four States Fairgrounds. And so that was part of it. There's also a second issue that we had that we were able to work out, which was we had some concern that they were not actually meeting one of the 9 statutory categories that are listed in the state statute, because it's sports promotion is what they're applying for, but they were just, I think their application said a gathering of cowboy churches. But we did clarify with that that's actually a rodeo sport event, so that was clear. The bigger issue was they were not able to prove heads in beds because they haven't funded. So we did talk to them about ways that they could prove that for next year.
And a lot of the folks that come to that event to participate in the event bring their own quarters with them. Most of them are travel trailers, big horse vans, and one thing or another.
Motor homes.
And they pretty well don't stay in the hotels. Now, the visitors who come and watch it might be a different story, but the participants themselves pretty well house themselves on site with their animals.
Kristen?
Okay. This worksheet I do have, which shows FY15 budget, 16 budget, and 17 request.
Is that in the packet?
It is not. No, this is just one that I...
Can we make copies of that? Is that possible to get a copy of that?
Sure. Is that the right printer?
No, that's yours.
Yeah, okay. It's your assignment.
Yeah.
Oh, you signed in as you?
Yeah.
You can't get to our printer?
No.
Kristen, is this in the spot folder? It's not. I can put it there, though.
Yeah. Put it to your folder upstairs, I'll go.
Or I can scribble it down real quick.
Let's see. just kind of gives you a history, and Lisa's going to go get a printed copy, but the chamber budget in FY15 was $25,000. Their actual expenditures in 15 were $12,000. Their budget in 16 was $12,500, and that was because we cut all funding in FY16. And I just, that estimated actual expense for 16 is just assuming that they're going to spend all of that money. They're requesting $25,000 in this current year. I believe everyone requested back to 100, to their 100% that they received in FY15, not their 16 budget, which was cut.
Let's just take the chamber for example. I'm just taking it because it's at the top, okay? So in 15, the request was for 25,080?
Yes.
Okay, but confirmation from the chamber is that they only spent 12,336?
That's correct.
Okay.
Well, that's all they requested from us, reimbursement.
Was there a reason why? Was there a reason why? I don't think you'll know the answer to it. Do you know if there was a reason why there wasn't request for reimbursement to the level amount of gift?
I don't specifically. I know they had a lot of change during that time. I don't know if that has something
gotcha.
To do with it.
Okay.
Mike, do you have anything to add to that?
That conversation? Yeah. No, it probably it has to do with the transitions that were going on at that time. And without the leadership there and the focus in the marketing of the community, they probably just pulled back and just didn't do anything.
Right.
Which was unfortunate.
Okay. Thank you.
Main Street's request, or their budget in 15 was $25,000. Their 16 budget was $12,500. And their request for 17 is $25,000.
And so again, Christian, we're just expecting that the actual 16 is the assumption that all of the money that is going to be spent.
Yes. Okay. I mean, generally it is, but it's rare that we have it where they don't spend okay. all of their amount they're allowed. The pro contract, that stayed pretty much the same. We did eliminate the building transfer in FY15 and 16 just because the fund was struggling so much, but it's in there for 17.
And the reasons we've got the 40,000 and the 1190 is because we took it out of the general budget?
The 1190 is separate because we pay a couple of expenses on their behalf. I think it's their alarm fee and maybe one other thing. So I just have it broken out so I can see the different amounts.
And then the maintenance comes out of our general budget, right?
The maintenance comes out of this fund. The $40,000 maintenance comes out of this fund, and it's transferred from this fund to the Pro Building Maintenance Fund, which is Fund 213.
But we didn't see it in previous years. Is there a reason?
Right.
It's because of the transfer?
It's my recollection that the fund was just struggling so much, the Hotel Occupancy Tax Fund was, and the Building Maintenance Fund, that the Pro was doing very well. So that was okay. one thing we were able to cut.
And so now the 1190, is this going to be a reoccurring fund or expense that we're going to be paying for?
Yes, okay. it is. It's something we've done for every year we do that. I believe, let's see, those two amounts, the 271, 207, and the 1190 add up to the previous year's 272, 397.
Okay.
I was just breaking it out
okay,
to
you.
Be more clear about okay. the way it's actually spent.
Okay, on Texarkana Museums, in the past, the amount's been like 107,844. It's the same this year, but then we have the new addition of 55,362?
Yes, it was an agreement with the museum system that whatever they did not spend each year, that we would reserve within this fund so that they could use it for a large building project.
Gotcha.
So that's what that $50,000 is.
And Mr. Woodson, we don't have a policy for the hotel occupancy tax fund, do we?
For the fund balance?
Yes, sir.
No, sir.
No, sir.
We're going to bring you one, though.
Okay.
Symphony was at 29,000 in 15, in 16, they were at 14.6, and their 17 request is 28.5. And I believe they had 1,500 that they were allocating to arts and historic, so their request was right at $30,000, I believe. Track was at 66,000, then down to 33,000 in 16, and their request for 17 is 67,000.
And this was all the requests received, right?
Yes.
Except for the running WJ?
Yes.
Day before, running WJ Ranch, did we give recommendation as to how they approved that they, that the visitors that came into town equated to heads and beds? Have you given them a little direction as to how to about that?
We provide the same report that we provide.
Okay.
Question, does the city participate through the employee United Way program?
The payroll deduction?
Or whatever, the campaign?
We don't let any organization come in and solicit the employees for contributions on duty time.
Do United Way, because I find that they give the organization what they want them to have, they don't get. Say if you donate $1,000 to one and he donates, they don't get all of that $2,000.
Yeah.
They give them percentages of, if I give to an organization, I give that right to the organization.
That's smart. Okay, what's next?
That's all I have. Do you have anything to add?
That's it. It's going to be the recipient's turn to get up and present anything they want to present to you at this point, reference how they've used their money up to this time.
Well, on the agenda.
Give some comfort level that the money is being used.
Right. We have the presentations from the organizations coming up, and what I think I'll do is just go ahead and go in the order as they are presented on the agenda. So first one is the Chamber of Commerce. So Mike, you're up, sir.
Want me to come down there?
Sure, that's fine. That's fine.
Same direction. As I said, I'm a little new, but can't speak at all the details from 2015, but let me give you a little brief rundown of the expenditures of the dollars. For instance, in 2015, the Chamber, we track calls, we track our visitors, we track the people coming in. So in 2015, we had 10,400 phone calls that were received in some form that was connected to tourism or relocation of people to the area. And also remember, in tourism, it isn't just the people coming here, it's the people that live here that's also participants in your tourism industry, too. So that's what we had. We had 3,200 walk-in visitors, different phone calls, people from out of town that actually walked in the office looking for information on the area. We mailed out 215 packets of information on the area, 212 maps were distributed to the tourists, but also, since I've been here, we've been distributing maps to our LifeNet, to the police department, to the fire department to carry in their trucks. So the expenditures on printing those maps, which comes out of the hotel motel tax money, is going two ways, promoting tourism and helping our residents as well. Sent out 90 relocation out information, that's for people who didn't walk in the office information come here in this year. And we had 43 people that participated in our driving tour. If you're not familiar with that, that's a CD, DVD, operational tour. You drive along through downtown Texarkana, and they drop the CD off when they're done and we recycle it back through. So how does that compare looking into 16? Well, so far this year, we've had 3,200 phone calls that have come in. That's right on track with the other. 1,350 walk-ins of people who have connected our location or Texarkana as far as a place to visit. And we have are on track with the same thing on relocation packets and tourism information that we have. And some things that the tax dollars were spent for in 2015, we the chamber office is really your tourist information office here in the city, and we have people come by there. So a portion of the funds goes to what I call spruce it up a little bit, plant some flowers, make it very welcoming for our visitors when they come there, some of the landscape opportunities, some of the mowing. It doesn't pay 100%. We'll put that in the chamber, but we got skin in the game on this too. So we're adding to that to help with those calls. Website maintenance, we have a new website up that's running for tourism. It was got up last year, now it's going to be spruced up again to move more, adding a more of a community calendar on that product so all the organizations in the community can post things. So when people look at coming to the area, they get a one-stop shop view at it. Obviously, calls and mailing, when we send out information on the area, there's increased calls and postage goes with that. Part of what our money is used for advertising, we ran an ad in the newspaper in 2015. We run ads in the Texas Travel Guide and living in two Arkansas publications too, and Arkansas contributes to part of this too. The Motorcycle Guide and Living in Arkansas Travel Magazine. It's interesting, you say, well, that doesn't sound like many ads. Ads in those periodicals are extremely expensive. Just to give you a rationale, I was called this week from the Dallas Cowboys program. They wanted us to buy an ad in the program for $43,000. I said, no, I appreciate it, but we're not buying the ad. So it gives you a price comparison. So you got the Dallas Cowboys program ad, but then if you look at Southern Living Magazine, which has a huger dispersion, which we couldn't buy last year because of the amount of funds available, that we'll be looking to do that in 2016 and reach a wider audience. Then obviously we hand out brochures and maps. We print the maps several times during the year. We do a hotel guide, we do a dining guide in the area, we do attraction guides, and they're four color processed, dual fold things, and why they're dual fold, because they fit inside a number 10 envelope. That's the reason why people print those things. That's the rationale. So we give those out. We're in the process of reprinting those now. Again, they're the most sought after items, and that does put heads in beds. That brings the people here. And in the meantime, too, Lindsay in our office, we have the big softball tournament coming up, all these other programs come in town. They come to the chamber and they want information on the area. They want goodie bags filled, so we call goodie bags. So we print the plastic bags as Texarkana logo on the outside to go out to visitors, and we stuff those bags. Just the order for the softball tournaments alone is 500 bags. So that's a lot of people. Those are heads and bits coming into the community. So in that bag goes, you know, the brochure, visit Texarkana, the dining guides, the restaurant guides, dining guides and hotel guides go in there so people use that. Also, a lot of these brochures we put out at the Tourist Information Center as well. They need us to supply that product for them. And a product that was out years ago that has since gone by the wayside, we were going to reprint it. It's what I call a placemat map. And it's 11 by 17. It has the high points of the city so people can get in and out for our tourism. That is the most requested item at the Tourist Center on Texarkana. We went out and checked on. So we'll print a couple thousand of those to keep those moving that way. Generally, that's about it. The phone calls, and the website, the landscaping, and the advertising. The advertising dollar is the big chunk of what we're looking at because it's so expensive. You know, small business card ad like Southern Living may run you between $1,800 and $2,800 one time to go out. So when you start looking at $25,000, it doesn't take long to clock that at all, as well as printing four-color processed items. The most important part for me, too, is that the product we put out is the image that the visitors have on the community. You can look second class or you can look first class. And the chamber's goal is to keep us looking as first class all the way. You may not be able to stay there as long, but we'll always go first class. You can do it for it. So that's generally what we're doing, and looking in 2016, just a little bit about what we're thinking is to increase the advertising in the national magazines that people watch. Southern Living is real popular. The Motorcycle Guide, believe it or not, is very popular. pick up around here. And we'll look at the agricultural industry too, because it'll attract people to fairgrounds and the other things we have as well. We're going to expand the website, as I said, with the community calendar on that, pick up the social media links to that. That'll expand out over so people can look and come visit with us. And we have to do some improvements in the visitor center. I got to put a couple boards up. We've got parts of the awning that you come with, so they'll have, we'll encourage some partial payment on that as we invest more in that to attract more people to the area. We updated, the chamber updated its phone system at our cost so we can better track and move calls around in the system. So that was what we're putting into too. Is there any questions that I may answer? I'll try my best.
Any questions for Mike?
Mike, does the chamber have a way to track what the return on investment when it comes to advertising dollars?
I cannot answer that. They've done that in the past, but you can in that you have to code it with a coupon code that if you bring this coupon in, we can work up an idea like that. Some of the hotels do that, where they say if you bring this ad or mention this code, you'll get 2% off, 3% off, or you get a free gift, which is a pen or something, those sort of things. The chamber itself, I do not believe it engaged in that. But we can seriously look at that in some of our publication things. Remember, I'm only working with this much floor space.
Right.
So I've got to watch what I say and get it out.
Any other questions for Mike? Okay.
Okay,
thank you very much, sir. As a follow-up to your deal about the Cowboys ad, they wanted you to pay $43,000 for an ad for a team that can't even make the playoffs. So, sidebar note on that. Okay. Next is Main Street, Texarkana. Ina, if you'll please come forward.
And I've got my board president, Lee Bentley.
Okay. Hey, all right. Lee, glad to have you with us this evening.
Glad to be here. Together a real quick little presentation. We're Main Street, Texarkana. One thing I wanted to point out is that we are nationally recognized, nationally accredited this year, third year in a row for us to do that. And one thing, what do I do to make it go
okay,
forward?
You just can like, just like tap the board or, twice with your finger. There you go.
Too cool. So 3 years running. One of one of the things we wanted to mention too is we have to do that in two states. So we're one of the rare Main Street organizations that has to accomplish that task twice in a row, and we've managed to do it the last 3 years. What I like to point out is that Main Street's been around for more than 3 years, and so to me this sort of points in the direction that we're heading and that we're starting to gain some ground and go in the direction. Our mission statement, economic development through preservation, repurposing, education, and community involvement, and this is centered around our downtown district, so Main Street has an area that we focus on that I believe is extremely important to our community as a whole, which is our downtown. Some of the events that we are responsible for, so Dine on the Line, Better Block, and the annual Christmas Parade. So three things that bring quite a few people into the community and are growing events. We're really excited about Dine on the Line, October 1st. We're actually going to incorporate Better Block into that event this year, so it should be a really, really big, bigger and better deal. That's our mayor right here. So on top of that.
I didn't fall off of it. I was able to get down.
And then the Christmas parade, which always blows my mind as to how many people show up in our downtown for the Christmas parade, especially if the weather's even like slightly good. Just watch out. A few other things that we do through our program. We have small business development loans, again, focused on downtown development loans. We produce the City Guide, which is a publication that we put out that focuses on the community as a whole, and then we use that to also kind of speak about how we feel about downtown. We've got a facade grant program and some other grant programs, and then provide technical assistance to people who are trying to develop downtown properties. I keep using the word downtown, I believe. Our goal is to see downtown become a hub and an economic, commerce-driven center. And that if we could do that, we can definitely drive the heads and beds part of our mission for Texarkana, and that if commerce is happening downtown, there are places to shop, ways to experience Texarkana. That's one of the things we're absolutely focused on. This is something we did on technical assistance side. This is showing the 300 block here. I know you can speak to this a little bit.
It's 300 block of Broad Street. As you all know, we did the Benjamin Moore project a few years ago. It stopped at the 200 block, but this is the 300 block, and as Lee mentioned, one of the things that we get free as a Main Street community is technical assistance as far as merchandising, small business advisement, but also rendering of buildings. And so if somebody comes to me and says, I want to buy this building, or I've already bought this building, then the state Main Street program, they have two architects on staff as well as three interior design people on staff. They can provide this to a potential business. So that they can get a vision of what that property can look like.
And so we kind of stick into looking at this bigger view of how do we go from here to here. And I honestly believe, you can't make the argument very well, that if we went from that to this, how many more people would be tourists in Texarkana? The number would go through the roof. Let's see, some of the stuff we're working on. This is generally some of the direction that we're trying to head. Since my presidency, which has just been beginning of the year, we've kind of tried to focus on shoring up and making our conversation simpler. And so these are some of the things that we've started to talk about focusing on. Downtown marketing and branding. So this is impacting the conversation about downtown. When I got into get really interested in downtown, most of the conversation that I ran into was, yeah, it would have been nice. Wasn't it nice when, but the thing's gone, right? You can't do anything with downtown. And we're working very hard to educate and tell people how important the future of downtown is for the future of Texarkana as a whole. So some of our branding and marketing strategies coming around that. We're looking at some real estate incentive programs where Main Street's potentially going to kick back the real estate agents if they get deals downtown for us so that we can drive business this direction. City engagement plans, we're working on how it is that we engage with you guys, showing up to as many meetings as we can get into and having a real plan behind it. Downtown smart code, so this is something we're starting to work on where we're asking questions about the building code and how does that apply to downtown buildings and where can we smooth the grease the wheels effectively. Where can we figure out, hey, these problems that we run into in code, we run into them every time. How can we make that easier for businesses to take off downtown, people to develop? Second Saturdays program, this is just in the work, this is a concept idea, but starting to kind of feed off of things like what the farmers market's doing and maybe bring down some more commerce. So that's out there. And then one that's more concrete, the Courthouse Square Initiative. I don't know if anyone's seen the renderings. We didn't put them in the
this package. They have seen them.
But it's sort of focusing on the courthouse area and how is that used. David's been a big help in that particular initiative and trying to get us a better city center to kind of gather around. So could be very key. For me, on the heads and beds thing, is that we're kind of taking the long view approach, and that's what Main Street kind of has to do, is we have to look at downtown, not as it is today, but how it can be in the future. And we feel like every little step we take adds more heads and beds in the future and continues to grow. Anything else that you wanted to say?
No, but I was going to say that as a member of the community as well as with Main Street Texarkana, I just can't say enough how important it is for our downtown to be as good as it is. And I want to say that we have some great supporters at the state level with the Main Street program. And you all have worked so hard to help us with the GRIM project and getting that on the register so that they can receive tax credits. Just before I came here tonight, I had three emails from different people at the state office saying congratulations on the Hotel GRIM. It just came up that it's made the national register. So it went a step above from the state register. So fantastic news. And that means so much to them because it gets our city out there. They see that we're working hard. We have things going on here in Texarkana. One of the emails was, there's a fantastic
promotional piece on YouTube, and she was saying, you got to get that out there for heritage tourism and Camp On with the Bankhead Highway that was here just recently. So we've got a lot of people in our corner at the state level, and we've just got to keep taking that and moving forward. And one other quick thing I think is pretty cool is I'm sure y'all are familiar with the Texas Highways magazine, and they promote things to do. In the September issue, we're going to be on the bucket list of things to do in the state to come and have your picture made on the state line. So just look for that issue. So any questions?
Any questions? Thank you. Okay. Thank you all very much. Appreciate it very much. Next presentation will be made by the Texarkana Museum System. Velvet, welcome.
First, I wanted to take an opportunity to thank y'all for the staff for really working with us this year and among yourselves to show a commitment to downtown Texarkana. To tell you a little bit about myself, I'm the board president of the museum system. We are not in a position to have an executive director. We need staff more than we need an executive director at this point, because we have four properties that we have to maintain. Even with the cuts that we had last year, we were able to increase our hours at the ASA Club's house, well, at all of the properties. We're now open every Sunday from 1 until 5. We have just really started to see the benefit of that, and I am down at the museum. I was there Saturday because I didn't have anything else to do, but I did not need to be down there. And that's probably the first time in 6 months that I have not been down at the museum Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I do that because we all know that the museum system sort of reached a point where it was pretty broken, and we weren't sure that we were going to be able to move forward. And as board president, I felt like I needed to know what went wrong in order to fix things. And we've got some excellent staff members now. I cannot say enough about Jamie Simmons, our curator, who's been with us for 20 years. She's really kept the wheels on the bus. Discovery Place has seen a real uptake in the number of school tours, visitors. We get a lot of visitors that are just now, you know, finding us on Facebook. We created a policy where they post on Facebook a certain time every day. The ASA Club's House is our most popular Facebook page. The curator there does an excellent job taking pictures of items in the house, and we get family members that comment, I remember that, and thank you. And it's the backing of you guys that has allowed us to be able to move forward. And this year, some of the things that we've been able to do, could you go ahead and start that for us?
Sure.
Thank you. One of the things that we, I'm gonna let it catch up to me. I had a weird video, because this is not my forte.
Reaching out to the internet takes a little time.
This is not a very good picture, but it is our prior Beasley Music Exhibit. And because we recently acquired a baby grand piano at the Ahern House, we have had to totally expand our Beasley Music Exhibit. In addition to the Scott Joplin piano that we had and a square grand piano that we had, we are also in the process of acquiring a player piano with about 70 rolls, a working player piano. So we have shifted this out of this gallery and into another gallery, and we will have all of our musical exhibits there, and this will be devoted to our rotating exhibits, our traveling exhibits, and the history of Texarkana. One of the gaps that we've tried to fill is there is no visitor center for downtown, and we get a lot of people that come in with a lot of odd questions. where's a hotel I can swim in, where's someplace I can eat, and we try to answer all of those questions, and we have the benefit of being there on Saturday and Sunday to answer those questions for visitors. And I thought this autoplay, but it may not. Okay, that was the piano. We also, in the Museum of Regional History, we were able to dedicate the Katy Caver to display some of our Caddo pottery. And we have our cabinet of curiosity. This is probably gonna go way too fast, so just let the pictures roll. We've had two traveling exhibits from the Texas Humanities Council. One is currently there, and it's on Unknown Mexico, and the other one was on the Knights of the Round Table and on chivalry. I'm just gonna let that play in the background and speak, because I clearly don't know how to do a video. When I first started coming in and volunteering with the museum system, there were times when the Museum of Regional History would just be pretty quiet, pretty dead. We have people that, you know, just come in to visit and to see our exhibits now. Word of mouth is really working wonders. Our Facebook advertising, we've bumped up our radio advertising. We do radio advertising on the public radio station and some of the local radio stations. In addition, we have a set schedule where once a month I go in and talk to the public radio station and sort of lay out what activities are going to be going on at all of our properties for the upcoming month. And I also do that with the television station in Hope. We also have a schedule where every Saturday there is an activity at a museum. The first Saturday of the month is always Museum of Regional History. Second Saturday is always the Children's Museum. Third Saturday is the Asa Clubs House. And then the fourth Saturday is the Ahern House. We do additional workshops throughout the month at Discovery Place. We try to do a workshop at least three Saturdays of the month. This year at Discovery Place, we were able to re-implement some summer camps. We had our first summer camp in many, many years. It was called Passport Week and had it for 4 days, and each day focused on the history and culture of an ancient region. We did China, Egypt, India, and one more that I'm skipping. We did Egypt because right now we have an Egyptian panel exhibit on King Tut. We have been able to get grants to sort of spruce up some of our exhibits at the Children's Museum. You will see that in the coming months we will go high-tech, and we'll have 20-inch tablets in multiple rooms to sort of engage the children in that way. I'm always impressed at the number of children that come in. We sell as many adult tickets to Discovery Place as we do to children. It is truly a family-centered organization. For one, we don't want to babysit. We want parents to come in and engage with their children. I had a couple come in, a family come in Sunday, and because it was Father's Day, he got to leave wearing a tie filled with candy that his kids got to sit and make with him. So he got to take home some Skittles. Our traveling trunks, we continue to expand those. Those are trunks that contain historical items and worksheets and things like that for teachers. And teachers can come in and actually check out those trunks and take them to their classrooms. What we would like to do next is we have been working with the Jameson family to bring light the situation with the Jameson building and sort of help create some momentum for that. And one of the things we suggested to them was, let's start with a small Jameson family trunk that focuses on the building and what a significant piece of our history that building has been. At the Ace of Clubs House, We've gotten pretty good at the ASO Club's house at incorporating children. It has a fabulous lawn. So we have had Easter egg hunts, we've had scavenger hunts. We did, this past Saturday, we did Egyptian excavation. We try to, if we have one exhibit at one museum, we try to incorporate the idea behind that into all of our properties or multiple properties. This month, we are focusing on women's suffrage. So we will have a women's suffrage exhibit at the ASA Club's house and one at the Ahern House. And then towards closer to election time, we're going to focus on politics, and we will have political cartoons from Texas at the ASA Club's house, from Arkansas at the Ahern House, and then from our collection, we'll have political cartoons at the Museum of Regional History. And when we do something like that, we try to bring in guest speakers and things like that. We have one guest speaker this year at the, our most popular guest speaker has been Dr. Walter Casey from the college, and he talked on stars, crosses, and crescents in the cradle of civilization, the politics of the Middle East. And we probably should have turned the people away. We had more people in the carriage house at the ASA Club's house than we could manage. So we're going to invite him to come back and expand on that and talk about some other civilizations as well. We also do community outreach. About two or three times a year, you'll find us at the Texas Farmers Market doing when we bring crafts for the children to participate in for free. And that's always fun. We've had a big success with that, even when it rains. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit about the Ahern House, which is our Arkansas property. And it does not receive any funding from this council, but it certainly contributes to the foot traffic and the synergy that the museum system creates. And we have been able to do a lot over there. We have an endowment, a fund that we're able to draw from for specifically for the Ahern House. And we've had multiple quilt shows. We've had button making workshops. We work with Dr. Doris Davis out at Texas A&M every year to do some writers workshops, some teachers workshops. And that building has a musical history. The family was very much into music. So the addition of this baby grand, this playable baby grand piano is, and Dr. Doris Davis is also a well-known pianist. So we're going to really try and focus on getting that property back to the musical background and have some concerts there. And we did a vintage hat show, which was all from our collection. And we are getting ready to do a vintage wedding gown show in July. On July 9th, we're going to have a wedding reception at the Ahern House. We've teamed with Be the Blessing Bakery. They're going to be providing the baked goods, things I like. And we're going to have wedding dresses dating from the 1800s to the 1980s, along with all of the ephemera. That's where I learned since working for the museum system. That would be things like the invitations and programs and things like that. So having been at the museum system so much in the last few months, I can tell you that what we're doing is beginning to work. You sort of reach that point where you're almost at the top of the hill. You still have a little bit of struggle to get to the top. But man, once you get to the top, there's such momentum going down that you really sort of have to get out of your own way. And you know, sometimes it's hard to take a look and say, okay, did I have a visitor that spent the night? Maybe not, but you know, the more things we have, the more reasons we have, the more a person can fill their day with, that's when they say, I'm going to make a day and a night and a weekend of coming to Texarkana. The festivals that the Arkansas side does, they're great. They bring in people, but for one day. You know, what we're building here brings in people year-round, season-round. We have people that, we had a big uptake in people in February. And the only thing we could figure is that some of the flooding down in Louisiana drove people to Texarkana. As the summer has started, apparently we're the like halfway point for a lot of people who, you know, mom may have a child that she's got to get to dad for the summer, and they'll meet halfway. And, you know, they're, you know, I ask everybody, what brought you to our museum? And it's usually either our Tesla coil or Facebook or TripAdvisor. Thank the staff for their recommendation that we be fully funded. I mean, I'm just excited to think of the possibilities that we can do. For one, the big elephant for the museum system is the state of the ASA Club's house. We all drive by. On the inside, it's still fabulous, but on the outside, it needs a lot of TLC. And last year, we had a study done by a restoration architect in Little Rock. And the critical things that we need to address probably over the next 5 to 10 years, we have a price tag of about $300,000. The first two are small projects, which because we don't spend all of our money every year, we do have the funds to go ahead and start some of those. The first thing is drainage. Over the years, drainage is just redirecting towards the house, which is the worst thing for historic property. Unfortunately, it's been too wet to do anything, but as soon as we get the okay, that will be when we get started on that, and we'll be able to do that. The paint job for the house is our highest price tag, and it's got a price tag of about $150,000, because they end up having to paint the house three times. So, thank you very much. Do y'all have any questions?
Where is the Ahern house located?
It is directly across from the Miller County Courthouse. It's right on the corner, and it's sort of an olive green.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any questions for Velvet this evening from the council? Okay. Thank you very much.
Hey, Velvet, I personally enjoy the Tesla coils. And how long is the museum system going to have that? Do we know, is it indefinite, or is that?
That is a permanent exhibit.
It's a permanent?
It's permanent for us. The only stipulation is if we decided we did not want it, we can't sell it or anything like that. We have to give it back to them.
Okay.
But yeah, that's permanent for us.
Great.
And my goal is to have some more music added to it. Our biggest issue with music is we run into copyright issues. But happy birthday, just went out of copyright, so we want to get that added. So tell everybody happy birthday.
Thank you.
All right, thank you, Velvet. All right, ready for the symphony.
I know. I'm sorry.
Excuse me. I'm trying to remember my my training there. Utilizing my training. All right.
I'm sorry. I don't have an audio visual. So I can tap on that door. That's the coolest right. thing I've ever seen.
Mika, welcome this evening. Glad to have
my
you.
My age. Thank you. I'm Ramika Gray. For those of you that may not know me, I'm a founding board member of the Symphony Orchestra, and I'm here because Mr. Clark is on vacation. This was his vacation week, otherwise he would have been here. I, like Velvet, want to thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight, and also want to tell you how much your support means to our organization. It does not go without notice when our other funders see the city's name on our grant requests as part of our funders, particularly when it comes to other government funding opportunities. It always gets noticed and it always gets brought up. We appreciate you for that. Your money actually doubles, triples, and so forth when we have that opportunity. So you are really a part of our success in that arena. I do want to make sure that everybody knows we're very proud of the fact that the TSO is the
only fully professional 501c3 performing arts organization in Texarkana, and we're really pleased to bring those unique musical opportunities here to our area. We do present a series of classical masterworks and pop, symphony pops, and educational concerts each year, each season. TSO's education programs annually impact over 3,500 students in the grades K through 12, as well as approximately 500 students at Texarkana College, Texas A&M University, and the University of Arkansas at Hope, Texarkana. Outright. And TSO performances are held primarily in the historic Perot Theater in downtown Texarkana. We also have a youth symphony orchestra, which boasts over 45 players now. These are auditioned student musicians who participate and perform at least twice a year in this ensemble. And it is the only ensemble of its kind in our area. We're also an active participant in your arts and historic group. I know you want to know what we've done in the past, and I did bring some of our past brochures. Hopefully you've all seen them, but if you haven't, or if you want another copy, this was our 10th anniversary season that we just finished. We've just started our new fiscal year, and with us is our new board president, Don Howard, back there in the corner. Don can wave, but the city logo is on the backs of these, and this is one of our primary printed pieces of material, and it doesn't only go out to local people. We have about 5,000 people, I guess, on our mailing list. We also take these everywhere we go throughout the state of Arkansas, Texas. We've even been as far away as Oregon and Atlanta for conferences and so forth. We try to make sure that our name is out there as having a symphony orchestra. So if you haven't seen it or need another one, they're up here. During the past 20 months, TSO, I know this is your primary interest, of course, TSO has logged 362 room night stays in local hotels, and 113 of those have been in the last 8 months. We've also brought in 11 really world-class performing guest artists through the Texarkana Regional Airport. So we're happy to be able to have a little business out there for our airport as well. As a part of our eight concert series, we regularly bring in anywhere from 45 to close to 65 professional musicians into the Texarkana area. They stay for up to 3 days and nights here in our hotels, preparing for each performance. And this particular year, our hotel bills ran over $10,000. So we feel like that is something that we need to do to give back to those of you who give to us through those funds. So we want you to know about that. As I mentioned, we just completed our 10th anniversary season. We had quite a big season this year, so we did do quite a bit of promotion in that season. We sold over 4,000 tickets, and this resulted in just over $8,000 in enhancement fee revenue for the Perot Theater. So we're also pleased to be able to give back a little bit to that theater, which is our primary performance venue. Our marketing efforts outside the immediate area were, I guess, most especially evident this year for our Christmas program. That's one of our largest audiences, just due to the nature of that particular concert. And also for Sandy Patty's Broadway Stories. That appearance gave us and Texarkana some national exposure. It turned out that we were one of the first concerts in her farewell tour. So we benefited from their corporate email campaign and their social media campaigns as well. So Texarkana's name was really out there in a great way from that particular concert. From all the sources, and that's from the TSO budget as well as the cities that fund us, we've invested over $100,000 in marketing for our programs and for Texarkana over the last 2 years. We're entering our second decade now. We thank you for helping us continue to be here and to inspire our community. And we do feel like the money that you contribute to us is helping to keep our vision alive. We want to be a center of musical excellence here in Texarkana. We want people to look to us and to come here because of that. We also want to foster that educational excellence with our children and our youth. We know we're enriching our communities. We know we're adding to the tourists and the support for the Perot Theater. We feel like we're providing economic growth because of these cultural resources and experiences. We hear from the Chamber of Commerce from time to time, and we get calls from parents who have moved into our community, who are excited about not only the opportunity the symphony provides on a professional level for them to come in here, but also because the Youth Symphony is here and their kids were able to participate in that in another area, and now, and they're really excited that they get to participate in that here. So we're glad to get that positive feedback and feel like we are developing a legacy for the future. We are requesting the $28,500 in funding plus the $1,500 to contribute to the Arts and Historic District programs and efforts. Again, I want to tell you how much we appreciate you, and if I can, I'll be glad to answer any questions you might have.
Any questions? All right. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you.
Don, congratulations on being president.
Thank you.
All right. Okay, we have one additional presentation, last but certainly not least, track. Brian?
Thank you, Bob.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Brian Gazel, the Executive Director of Track. It's great to see everyone here tonight. And I really would like to thank the city for this opportunity to talk about this, but I'd also like to thank the city for supporting the Arts and Historic District and supporting us as nonprofits in the Arts and Historic District. This is really critical. A critical change has taken place for the positive that we see as a cultural district. The fact that the city is supporting us and wants to support us, more importantly, recognizes the fact of what we provide for the city culturally, which then affects us economically, all of us, and economic development drivers. And that, to me, is the most important thing that the city can do for us, because we are all working together to make Texarkana, USA a better place to live. And we all know that we can have a great airport, and we can have the best hospitals, and we can have an absolutely terrific transit system. And if we don't have the cultural opportunities to provide for people who are interested in moving to our community, or wanting to transfer their business to our community, or wanting to study in our community, we're not going to get them. Giving folks free land, giving them free utilities, is not going to bring folks to Texarkana. It's going to continue just to be a place to stop, get gas, go to the bathroom, and keep on going. But the fact the city, and both cities, really do recognize what we bring to the table is very, very significant, because I think this is the first time in my 18 years that I've been here that I've heard this. We've gotten some support in the past, but this is a considerable difference. What we're hearing is the city wants to support us, recognizes us, and doesn't want to be in competition with us, because we have enough hard times just getting people to give us donations, raising funds through the Perot Theater series, selling tickets. So this is a big step for us, and I want to thank each of you all sitting here, and certainly the staff of the City of Texarkana, Texas. So without further ado, why don't we talk about how we spent the hotel motel dollars for track. Now, track and the Pro Theater are two different things. This is track. We manage the Pro Theater, but the Pro Theater monies that we manage are not track. Two taps, right?
Double tap.
Okay.
It advances.
All right, so I'm going to go through the series first. Advertising for the 2016-17 season began with the first Pro Theater series show, A Very Electric Christmas. And this is a very good example of how we promote the Pro Theater series shows. So we did 7 radio stations covering a 100-square-mile radius of Texarkana, newspaper ads, which we always do in the Texarkana Gazette, as well as the Little River News. We did color magazine ads in 4 States Living, Alt, Her, and Texarkana Parent. We do daily posts on social media sites, which average 7 hours a week. And direct mail was also part of the campaign, with over 800 postcards sent to track and the Pro Theater Series patrons. Our second show was the National Circus and Acrobats of the People's Republic of China. This was an incredible show that we wanted to bring 8 years ago, but because of some issues with China at the time, we were not able to bring them in at that time, but we were able to bring it in this year. And again, 7 radio stations, 8 newspaper ads, color magazine ads, same thing, 4 States Living, all Tur and Texarkana Parent, daily posts again on social media sites. Saturday Night Fever, and is that how we started?
We might have to click that one, I don't know.
All right, I'll let you click that one.
Brian, the big knob on the left end there, you can turn the volume.
This one?
Yeah.
Now a smash hit Broadway musical.
There you go.
Thank you.
Broadway's hottest dance musical, Saturday Night Fever.
Of course, this is the music of the beach.
Texarkana's Corot Theater, Saturday, February 27th. Call 903-792-4992 today.
And this was our big Broadway show this year. We usually try to bring in a Broadway show, but you can see we ran television spots on KTVS, Cable One, and radio, of course, print, social media. Advertising on our Shreveport stations is expensive, as all of us can hear. But what it does is it does reach out beyond our immediate area. We used to draw folks on a regular basis from Longview, Tyler, Marshall, Northern Louisiana, Southwestern and Central Arkansas, certainly Southeastern Oklahoma as well, and Northeast Texas. What has happened to all of us who are in the performing arts is that there are so many performing arts centers that have been built attached to cities, also as well as the universities. So we are in direct competition with all of those universities and cities that 30 years ago did not exist. We used to be the only center between Little Rock and Dallas for performing arts, and that's just no longer the case. So it's important for us to reach out and try to bring events that folks from our area are interested in seeing. Houston Ballet 2, I'm going to let you hit that for me, if you would, please.
My goal is to become a top-ranking dancer with a professional company. Houston Ballet 2 is definitely the best program for that. They have such a high standard for technical training and artistic training. Very strict, very strong.
They challenge you to pick things up faster, and they're preparing you for a professional career. You can't really get that training-wise anywhere else.
They also provide us with a lot of performance opportunities. So it's really great to be able to perform in front of big crowds and be able to perform the company repertoire.
I think that they bring a really diverse rep for them to learn and perform. Lots of different types of movement, different music, different choreographers, processes when they work with the dancers. It prepares them for that diversity that they're going to need.
I'm looking forward to performing for different audiences, going to different places. I don't know, I like every piece because they're all so different.
My favorite piece to perform would have to be Warm Form by Garrett Smith. It's more of a modern foundation. I haven't really had the chance to be able to do something like it.
I enjoy doing Stan Welch's Long Winding Road because I love the music. I love all the Beatles music.
They were quick and smart and really passionate. It is a really nice experience to get to work with that level of maturity and artistry in such young dancers.
We are an educational organization. We do present, but the basis of everything we do is education. And these young dancers who you just saw are 16, 17, 18, and 19 years of age. So they serve as a bar, an example for our young dancers in this entire region to emulate and to learn from. So this is just a good example of one of the things that we do as far as track is concerned. Track also presented a few special events at the Pro Theater, and this was one of them. This was Cosmic Conversations. Again, we're an educational organization. So we brought scientists, engineers, and astronauts to the Pro Theater to talk about the art of cosmic explorations. So we had them looking at astronomy. We had them looking at spacesuits. We had them looking at what it means to be an astronaut, what it means to be an engineer who designs everything that makes all of this possible. So this was something that we made available to the school districts. TRAC also promotes the Pro Theater with our annual brochure. Many of you are very familiar with it. The exciting part of this is that we send 6,300 of these out to all of the tourist bureaus across the state of Texas and the state of Arkansas. We hand out about 500, and the additional 3,000 all go to local patrons. So what you'll find in here is just not our theater for young audiences, those shows that we present for schools, but you'll also find in here advertisements about renting the Pro Theater, and then also ghost tours about the Pro Theater. And then we also do the Nutcracker, which is the home, Pro Theater is the home of the Texarkana Ballet, Community Ballet, excuse me. And then, let me get over here, I'm trying to find TSO.
Thank you.
You did. I skipped over, that's what I did. There we go, Texarkana Symphony Orchestra. So the Pro Theater is the home of the Texarkana Community Ballet, Texarkana Symphony Orchestra, the Pro Theater series, as well as rentals. And so it's important that we get this brochure out. It's important that we have on our social media sites what's going on in Texarkana. And then, of course, I've just mentioned the Pro Theater rentals, advertising. This is something that we do in print advertising. This is something we certainly promote in social media. TripAdvisor, the best news from TripAdvisor is that Pro Theater is now the number one best rated site to visit in Texarkana. And the reason is we offer free tours at the Pro Theater 5 days a week. So we may have 30 people who arrive on a bus, or we could have a mom and pop who have never visited the Pro Theater before, or it could be a Sunday school class from Shreveport. It could be families who live here who have visitors to their family, you know, from their families, and they just come to the Pro. So this is a major step for us as far as the Pro Theater is concerned. And then, of course, the Regional Arts Center. The Regional Arts Center in Cave Hall is an event center, but the Regional Arts Center also offers 12 months of free exhibits, national touring exhibits, and then local and regional artist work. So it's recognizing those artists who live here and work here. So we offer free exhibits. We're open 5 days a week. We're open Tuesday through Saturday from 10 until 4. And then, of course, the gallery series is what I was just talking about. The really cool thing about this gallery series is that Easy Mart sponsors our adult jury exhibition. And we now have artists, not just from our region, not just from our state, but literally from all over the United States who compete to be able to have their work shown in this exhibition. And that takes place during the summer, which is our most popular time for tourists to visit. We usually have 3 to 4 individual countries who are represented and come to these exhibits. And then we had 48 states represented this past year. About to do it twice, don't I? There we go. Okay, and then of course the Holiday Arts Market. This is the open house and arts market that takes place at Christmas time, Women for the Arts. And this is an opportunity for regional artists to come and show their works. It's jewelry, it's ceramics, it's wood turners, handmade soaps, chocolates, ice cream. It's all sorts of different individually made items, which are one-of-a-kind items. So it also not only brings the artists here who spend the night, but it also is becoming a regional focus for shopping at Christmas time, the holiday season. And so just to give you, let me give you an idea. We had our budget cut by 50% as far as hotel motel, as Kristen was saying earlier. The maintenance, we normally get $2,200 in maintenance. We spent $9,464 on maintenance. I'm not talking about the Pro Theater, I'm talking about just TRAC. And as far as contractual services, when we were talking about advertising and marketing, we got $18,000 from you, but we spent $43,553. So some people at one time thought that Hotel Motel paid for all of the expenses of those of us who are nonprofits. But that's not the case, as Rebecca can tell you and Ina can tell you, all of us. It's just a small portion of what enables us to be cultural arts organizations and nonprofit organizations. We use your dollars that you provide for us through Hotel Motel, and we triple, we quadruple, we quintuple what you give us so that we can promote who we are, what we do, and then offer cultural opportunities for our region. And that's who we are and what we do. And again, I want to thank you for the support that you give us, because we couldn't do it without you. It's a small portion, but it's a portion that we desperately need. Anybody have any questions?
Questions for Brian? Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity.
Appreciate your presentation. Very good presentations this evening from our local agencies in the community that we help support. Any questions or comments from the council before we move forward, or from the staff? Okay. Move along to our closing remark, Mayor's closing remarks. Just want to take this opportunity to thank everyone for being here this evening. I think we've had a very productive meeting. And once again, thank you for your time and effort. I'm going to turn it over to Council Member Josh Davis. You want to share something with us, Josh?
Thank you, Mayor. I wanted to speak to the council before we adjourn this evening. I was contacted by a group that is going to be representing multiple different agencies in Austin on Thursday morning. It has to do with our Sulphur River Basin Sunset Review. And I believe that we all, what was that, several months back, had a unanimous vote of no confidence in SRBA. Anyhow, this group is going to be in Austin Thursday morning at 9 a.m. to testify before the Sunset Review. This group had asked if I would be available to attend as an elected official to testify. I think it's 3 minutes that we'll be there. It starts at 9 a.m. that morning, so it's going to be very brief, but more or less just conveying Texarkana's stance on this issue. And I wanted to see if the council would be okay with myself going on this trip, which it'll be over there late Wednesday night and back as soon as we finish testifying. We're first up on the agenda as far as that's concerned, but I know that we'll have representatives from Riverbend. I know that Marshall Wood will be there. I know that Liz Fazio will be there. I know Andrea Williams will be there. So I think Steve Mayo will be there too as our appointed liaison. Basically what I was told is that it may carry a little bit more weight if there is somebody, since Texarkana, Texas is the largest water right holder in the area, to at least have somebody from the council to be there saying, yes, this is, you know, our stance on it as well. But I just wanted to find out if the council was comfortable before I just said, yeah, I'll be there, count me in. I definitely would like to go on behalf of Texarkana, but I definitely wouldn't want to step on anybody's toes here by doing so.
Miss Ryan, I say no.
Okay. I'm out.
No, we're just kidding. I said we both agreed that he could.
Dr. Matthews and Ms. Matlock say yes, and that puts me in a, you know,
then we're in a tie.
You know, predicament, doesn't it? So.
Looks like I'll be staying here.
I advised Josh that he should bring this up tonight, even though it's not on the agenda. And from the point that this is what he plans to do without objection, you know, mm-hmm. no one objects, because it's not an agenda item, you can't vote. So
right.
just basically, if anybody's got an objection, they need to voice it and mm-hmm. need to take that into consideration.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate you're willing to take the time to drive to Austin for 3 minutes. So
that's basically what it
is. I would want at least 30 if I'm going to drive to Austin. But you're very kind in wanting to do that. So
this is very important.
All right, we appreciate your willingness to go and represent the city. So
no.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Anything else to be brought before the council this evening? If not, I will entertain a motion for adjournment.
So
We have a motion and we have a second. All right, once again, I'm going to thank all the agencies who are here this evening. Thank you for your time and the great work that you do in our community. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. We are adjourned at 7:35 p.m. Thank you all for being here.